coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello and welcome to Behind the News podcast, going over what's in the headlines in Clinch County, Atkinson County, Eccles County, and Lanier County. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Atkinson County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, and Eccles County Echo. I'm joined by the editor of the Atkinson County Citizen, Blake Pittman, as we go over what's going on behind the news in our communities. Some things we're going to be talking about today in this podcast. The Pearson City Council may have a recall election. That's been brought up by the mayor. We're going to discuss that. Blake's going to explain what that means. School is starting for all our communities in the next couple of days. We're going to go over all the dates that you need to know as a parent or as a teacher to be prepared for going back to school. Clinch County is in the process of putting an E-Splost on the ballot. That's going to be in November, but this one's going to be a little bit different. We're going to tell you why and how. Lanier County had a meeting, a continuation of their conversation with Lanier County series. We're going to talk about what happened at that meeting. Softball is also kicking off along with football. We're going to talk about both those sports and what's going on with them and all of South Georgia in the next couple of days. Pearson had some break-ins. We're going to discuss that, and Blake's going to give us a report, and we're going to have some other information about things that are going on in our area. Stay tuned for that. We're going to get a word from our sponsors. Our sponsors are, by the way, Lutz Brown Pegler, Manly Insurance in Homerville, the Shack Cafe in Pearson, Country Cabin Restaurant, and Roberts Mill and Company. We appreciate those folks. They sponsor this and bring this to you. And we're going to get a word from one of them right now.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Mill and Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They're open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come
Welcome
out and
back,
see what
beautiful
it's all
podcast
about.
People, I'm your host, Lynn Robbins. You're listening to Behind the News podcast, and one of the big stories in our area this week was in the Atkinson County Citizen. And Blake, tell us about a recall effort by the Pearson mayor.
Yes, last week I was contacted by Pearson Mayor Robert Johnson, stating that he had something interesting to go in the paper, and that when he got, you know, things more organized, he would contact me. And so he finally reached back out, and he is currently working through the channels, I guess you could say, to try to recall the previous election from 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, when Barbara Johnson was elected. Let me make sure.
Barbara Douglas.
I know I had the name wrong. When Miss Barbara Douglas was elected as a city council member. Now, if you recall, that meeting, that election was an at-large election. They had two seats open, three people ran, and the top two vote getters received the position. She had one, and DeFranz Minor received the other one. The only one being challenged now by the mayor is Barbara Douglas's. If you will look on page 4 of our paper this week in our editorial section, you will see a lengthy, on the bottom of the left-hand side of the page, under the letters to the editor, you'll see a lengthy editor that Mayor Johnson wrote to the Citizen. And in this, he describes the reasons why he wants to remove her from office. And, you know, listing things that he claims he knows it's a drastic action, but he says he's got to take necessary steps to protect the interests of the citizens and the businesses. He claims that Miss Barbara is a self-serving individual. That is a direct quote from the mayor. And he cites her relationship with her cousin, former mayor, the one that he replaced, Miss Betty Drayton Williams, and as a problem, saying that she's very nitpicky, that she's all the time bringing up trivial issues, you know, just, I mean, just really minor stuff. Last one I spoke to Mayor Mayor Johnson on Tuesday morning. He had already organized the committee. Now, you may be asking yourself, what exactly is a recall election? If you'll look back on the front page of the paper, I made sure that I tried to explain that as concisely as I could. After digging through the Georgia Constitution all morning, I tried to put the basic steps in there. So basically, a recall is just a ballot measure, and it applies to every state and local governmental elected position, if you will. And it's there to give an out if you have somebody that is doing something wrong, to get them out and get a new person in there. Now, granted, a city council or a mayor by themselves cannot vote an elected official out of office, regardless of what you've been told or heard. That cannot happen. There are appropriate steps you have to go through, different channels to get that. It's not as easy as just going up and saying you want a recall. You have to go to the Board of Elections office. You have to get an application for a recall. You have to get the application to be sponsored by at least 10 other people, and they have to sign it. They have to verify their name, their address, their date of birth, their incomplete identity. And then you have to list reasons why you want the recall election. Now, Lynn, according to the State of Georgia Constitution, Article 2, Section 2, Paragraph 4, it says, and I quote, this is a direct quote from that Constitution, it says, a recall is only valid if it meets the following conditions. An elected official has to have committed acts of malfeasance or essentially wrongdoing. They have to have violated their oath of office by committing misconduct of some kind. They have to be guilty of a failure to perform their duties prescribed by law. Or willfully.
Let me jump in here.
Okay, go ahead.
Who would decide whether an act of malfeasance had been done or exactly. They violated their oath? Who would decide that? Would it be
go to
court?
Well, what would have to happen is there would have to be like a specific example of something that happened, and then they would have to file a complaint on it, and then it would go to a higher ruling. Like, and it can even go as far as to actually having charges pressed on the individual saying, you did this. It's not one of those things that can be going off of hearsay where I can say, I want to recall the election of Lynn Robbins just because I don't like him and he's related to so-and-so or what have you.
Well, and I think I may be mistaken, but I think this is the way it works. It goes before the elections board first, then it can be appealed to Superior Court.
That's right.
That's what, when we've had other election issues, that's the path it takes. But it's also my understanding that, like you just alluded, you can't just go, well, I don't like that person and the way they're acting in office.
That's right.
And they're a pain in my tail. You've got to have something concrete
exactly.
That you can hang on them. And
it can't just be off of speculation.
Yeah, and in this case, I haven't heard. Now, maybe Mayor Johnson has something, but yeah. I haven't heard anything
if
concrete
he
that would
he
reach that
it.
Level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and just besides going for the Board of Elections, you know, once the application is approved and they say you can proceed with the recall, if you get to that point, then you have to go around with a petition to all the people that were registered to vote in that last election, and you have to have a number that equals at least 10% of the registered voters that were registered during that election. Now, here's the kicker. I've had this explained to me by two different attorneys. Once you get, like, say you have 10 people canvassing neighborhoods, right? And they have the list of the signatures. Now, if they come up and say, Blake, I need you to sign this, and they explain it, and I say, sure, I'm going to sign it. I have to list my name, my date of birth, and my address, like a whole slew of information, okay, verifying who I am. Then at the end of, once they get that, if it's 10 signatures on that list, once they get them, then they have to have somebody else separate from the person collecting the signatures, and they can't be one that signed it, to notarize it, to make it a legal document. So once they obtain the signatures, then it goes back to the Board of Elections office, and they have like 5 days to comb through this list and say, this person is legit, this person is legit, this person is legit. Now, if they get to the point where they've got their signatures and everything, then they can recall the election. The post will be vacated. But here's the kicker. If they got to that point and they still didn't prove that she did something wrong, she could turn around and rerun for office and be reelected. And it's just, you run into a waste of taxpayers' money there, because we've paid to recall the election, we've paid for a new election, and we've got the same councilwoman that we just recalled. So it it just, at this point, I don't think without any concrete proof, I don't think it's going to go any further than the initial stages. I don't see how the Board of Elections can approve it without something concrete stating, you know, this happened, this happened, this happened. Now, I did get a phone call yesterday from Miss Barbara. She called me while I was out delivering, and she is going to prepare a letter to run in the paper this week. And she said, just to tell you simply, she said, if you get a chance before I do, she said, just put the word out that I'm not backing down. I'm going to keep doing exactly what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep serving the people that elected me to the office. So she's not worried about it in the slightest. So, yeah, that's what's going on. And like I said, for, you know, read the story on page one, it jumps to page three. It will explain the process without going into too much of the he said, she said stuff. Then flip to page four and read the letter to the editor by Mayor Robert Johnson. And he gives his reasoning behind wanting that to happen.
And that's a well-written letter that he did. Also, isn't there a city council meeting sometime soon?
There's a city council meeting Tuesday night at 6:30, and I'm a little bit excited about that one.
Next week's paper in the Axon County Citizen, we'll have a report about the city council meeting. We'll have a response in some type
from Ms. Barbara.
From Barbara Douglas to this. And so it should be an interesting next couple of weeks with the Axon County Citizen. And Blake, I appreciate you telling us about that. That's one of the big story in Axon County Citizen this week. But in all of our newspapers, one of the big stories is school starting.
That's right.
In the next couple of days, the first local school system to start classes for students will be Eccles County. They are having open house today.
Yep.
No, had it yesterday, mm-hmm. from 4 to 6, Wednesday, July 31st. And then tomorrow, Friday, August 2nd, Eccles County Schools will be starting. All right, Clinch County Schools will be having open house, let's see, on Tuesday, August 6th, from 4 to 6. That's at the elementary school. I think 8th grade at the high school has a different, or maybe it's right after that. Yeah, I think it's from 6, at 6 o'clock on that same Tuesday. The school year for Clinch County School starts Wednesday, August 7th.
Yep.
Which is the same day also that Lanier County Schools start. They start Wednesday, August 7th. They will be having open house for all Lanier County Schools on Monday, August 5th from 4 to 7 p.m. We have all the school supply lists for all the schools in the Lanier County Advocate. It's on page one, goes to page three, and in the Clinch County News starting on page one, and then the school supply list on page seven. And what about Atkinson? When do they start?
ATCO starts Monday on the 5th. They all have their open houses tonight. Willacoochee's is from 4:30 to 6 p.m. They are having a parent staff meeting at 4:30 in the gym. So once you report, don't go to the teacher's classes. Go to the gym, which, I mean, it'll probably be after the fact when you hear this anyways. But they are tonight, Atkinson Middle School and Pearson Elementary School and the high school is also tonight from 3 to 6. They will start Monday, August the 5th. And also we put a supply list in there for Willacoochee Elementary, for Pearson Elementary and Pearson Middle on page 3. The high school does not have one there because they will release that the first day of school when the students get there. So once they get there Monday. And also I got a notice from Miss Janice Williams, who is one of the teachers at the high school today. And she actually posted on her Facebook, the school's website and all, it says that the student portal is up and running. So for schedules and everything, you need to log into that because they will not be printing them and handing them out at the high school. So make sure you log into your child's portal, print off all their schedules and everything else. But yep, that's when they're doing it in Pearson.
And also one more reminder, Clinch County, I think drop ad at the high school is today and tomorrow.
Yep.
It was all week, actually. So if you want to change your child's schedule, and really anything, Blake, that you need, if you're a parent of a child, pre-K all the way to senior in high school, in all of our newspapers, we have basically everything you need, all the information you need to know. Yeah. about, like in Lanier County, the sales of lockers and parking permits, and Clinch County, you know, we got news about different camps and stuff going on and all kinds of stuff. So grab your local paper, and it'll get you up to date on everything right before school starts. We're going to also, in just a bit, talk some more about some of those things, as well as the sports year starting up along with the school year. But before we get to that, we're going to hear this message from one of our sponsors.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, podcasting friends. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman. This is our back-to-school podcast, really. A lot of stuff to deal with back-to-school and school systems and so forth. And one thing I wanted to talk about was in the Clinch County News, we have a story on the front about school board meeting Clinch County Board of Education had, where they discussed the eSPLOS, which is up for renewal in November. So on your November ballot, which will be also the presidential, no, that won't be the president. That'll be 2019. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'll be this year's November ballot, which I think will have some city, maybe city of Homerville or some municipal elections in Clinch County. They're going to have a eSPLOS that's a renewal, and usually that's for a 5-year period, but this time it's going to be for a 2-year period. And in the story, it explains why it is for a 2-year period. The school system is not really sure about what they want to do right now with their facilities. The high school was built in 1980. So that makes it right at, 40 years old? Is that right? Yeah.
1980?
Yeah. And 39. The elementary school is 30-something years old, which I helped, actually, in the construction of that, if you can believe that. That's how old I am. And the elementary school. There's a lot of Dr. Pepper cans underneath that facility.
Hey, listen here, buddy. I helped construct that playground when I was in first, second grade. I remember being out there with wood screws, putting soap on them so they wouldn't back out of the holes. So, yeah.
So both of those facilities are going to be are eligible, or soon will be eligible for more money, because you get money from the state based on the age of your facilities and also your socioeconomic status. Well, Clinch County is one of the lower on the lower end, meaning we'll get a good amount of money or percentage-wise for a new facility. But the school board and the school system aren't really sure what they want to do right now. So they can use SPLOS monies for those type of things, for construction, for new facilities, capital projects. And since they don't want to put get us in a 5-year thing where they have to, with the SPLOS, you have to say exactly what you're going to spend it on.
Yep.
And so they're not really ready to do that yet. So what they're going to do is do a 2-year SPLOS with some smaller capital projects, I think, including maybe fixing the plumbing at Clinch Elementary and Middle School campus. And then after 2 years, they'll have a better idea of where they want to go and long-term future plans in terms of facilities, whether to fix up some of the stuff to make those facilities better, or go with a new facility altogether. Take into consideration what monies the state will be providing on that. So there's a story about that in the Clinch County News that explains more about why they're pursuing a 2-year eSPLOS, which is a 1% sales tax, which you're already paying. It'll be a renewal on the ballot in November. Another story that's in the Lanier County paper, they had the second part of a two-part sort of meeting called a conversation with Lanier County, where the first one was held a couple of months ago, and it was hosted by the Lanier County Development Authority. And really, they just wanted to get all the city and the county and the school board officials and chamber officials, development authority, and talk about where they're going in the future in terms of economic development. And they had Scott Purvis from Georgia Power come and speak and facilitate that meeting. This meeting that was held on Friday at the Threat Center had Dr. Alfie Meek from Georgia Tech's Center of Economic Development Research. He explained how taxation, how you sort of want to have, or he said in specifically in Lanier County, needs more property tax a base from industry. That's better for your community rather than having so much residential property tax. And he said that, you know, Lanier County needs to adopt a strategy for the future and create targets and you know, support existing industry. And anyway, there's a story about it that I wrote that's on the front page of Lanier County Advocate about that meeting, which I think a lot of people in the community, especially the Development Authority, are going to try to follow up on. Also in Lanier County Advocate this week is our softball preview written by Keith Newbern about the Lady Dogs, who made it last year to the Elite Eight in Class A in Columbus. And they are, from what my understanding, I talked to Coach Lee Douglas from Clinch County in doing a softball preview, which will be in this week's Clinch County News. And he said he thinks that Lanier's probably the favorite to win the region. And they've got a girl, Aniston Gano, who had 9 home runs last year as a junior. And she's coming back. And she has family over here in Clinch County, in fact. But so we got the Lanier County softball preview in this week's Lanier County Advocate. They start tomorrow. Their first game is against Miller County. I think it's a doubleheader in Lakeland, and then they play again on Tuesday against Telfair County. That's going to be a big game because Telfair is also one of the leaders in the region. Clinch County will be starting on Tuesday as well. I think they're going to Long County. So if you want to get those schedules, I got them on the front page of the Lanier County Advocate for softball. We'll have it on the front page of the Clinch County News this week, their softball schedule. And then, Blake, what about Atkinson?
Atco's first game is Tuesday as well. They travel to Eccles. And then the first home game is on the 8th versus Lanier at home. So they just jump right into that region schedule. But, yeah, we should have softball information in this week's edition of the – or this coming week's edition of the Citizen as well.
And then Eccles also obviously starting their softball season, but they lost. You know, they had that just outstanding pitcher, Morgan Hill, who has graduated. I think she's at Valles State. Yeah. And it's going to be – and, you know, that region, and we're going to – this will be a good segue from – softball, where Region 2A is just really competitive.
Yeah.
And football also going to be really competitive. And exactly. We started up football today. Actually, is the first day they officially can be hitting in pads. And last night, Clinch County went ahead and jumped on it and had Midnight Madness. First time we've ever done that. Where at the stroke of midnight, we started doing Oklahoma drills out there at Donald Tyson Field. Tell us about that. You were there.
Yeah, it was a great night. You know, just from being at summer workouts with the guys, they were all pretty antsy anyway. You know, because you got all the GHA say regulations you have to go with about how many hours you can be out, when you can do contact, and when you can do this, and when you can do that. And so we pretty well ran through those drills till we were blue in the face, and they were ready to go. And so last night, the stroke of midnight, we stretched them out, and then we went in on some, it was 4-on-4 Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And buddy, I got some good videos. If you're friends with me on Facebook, go check out my Facebook. I got some on my phone. I'll probably share later.
I also shared it on the Clinch County Athletic Booster Club Facebook page.
They did Oklahoma, and then we ran through some offense and some defense, and they're going to be back at 5 today, ready to go again. Those guys are hungry. They said they're three-peating this year.
Well, and I'll mention that Blake is helping out with the middle school football program in Clinch County. Yep. And all the schools start this week. Next week, I know Clinch County has a scrimmage next Friday, a week from tomorrow. We're recording this on Thursday.
Yeah.
Where they're going to – and I'll have a story about this in this week's Clinch County News against New Hampstead, which is a new school.
It's a 5A school?
5A school. They're in the same region with Ware County. And it's on the western edge of Chatham County, near the intersection of I-95 and I-16.
Yeah.
And their coach is new, and he came from McEachern. Mm-hmm. Kyle Hockman, whose son is named Bailey Hockman, who is a very heralded quarterback prospect who's now at NC State. I think he's their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think so.
And so that's going to be a whole new thing with them getting a really good coach.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting. I'm hoping that they'll bring a good crowd to Donald Tyson Field. So if you weren't able to get out to the Midnight Madness last night or this morning.
We had about 40, 50 people out there.
I think it was over 100.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, I was sitting there and there were probably 20 people behind me, you know, 30. I mean, because there were a bunch of kids there, you know. I think it was about 100.
Yeah, I quit counting when the hitting started.
Yeah. And then you had 100 on the field. Well, you probably had close.
We had a good squad.
You had 50-something kids and probably 15 coaches.
I hope this team that's coming is ready to get hit because we got three big dudes running the ball last night. I would have hated to hit either one of them in my prime.
But if you didn't get to go to that and see the Panthers, that scrimmage does not count on the regular season against New Hampstead.
That's
and
right.
That will be. But we're going to run it just like a regular game. We're going to have full concession stand, full everything. Yep. So next Friday. And then I don't know about Lanier or Atkinson's schedule.
Atco, plays. They have a scrimmage next Friday night at Bacon County. The ninth, next Friday. Kickoff's at 7:30 in Alma. Now, they don't play their first home game regular season until the 23rd, and they have Montgomery at home that night.
And then Clinch is at home that night against Hebron Christian.
Yep.
Lanier County, we'll have a report from Keith Newbern about all their football stuff in this week's paper. Because right now we're working on that as we're getting ready for our football editions in all three newspapers that have football teams, Axon County Citizen, Clinch County News, and the Lanier County Advocate. If you are a father or a parent or whatever of a cheerleader, football player, band member, and you want to get an ad in, I think we can still squeeze it in. We'll take your money. So go up to one of the offices or contact Blake or Lorraine Warren or myself or Laura up here at the office, and let's get you a ad. Okay. Let's get you an ad, you know, saying, you know, good luck to your whatever your special Bulldog or Rebel or Panther is.
That's right.
But we still got time to do that. Now, Blake, tell us a little bit about the break-ins and Pearson that was in this week's Citizen.
Yeah, I received a call from Police Chief John Clayton on Tuesday morning wanting to kind of get a warning out to the community, good gracious. On July 21st, between the hours of 3 and 5 a.m., they had 21 vehicle break-ins.
I can't believe that.
21 on the 21st. Now, according to Chief Clayton, none of the vehicles that were broken into are actually locked. So pretty well, this group of whoever's doing it are just going around checking car doors, and if they find one that's unlocked, they open it up. And he said the reports they had, all the contents of the car would be strewn about the inside, and you know, they're just kind of pilfering through to see if there's anything in there worth taking. And they have taken some money and some phones and some, you know, just small items of value. But 21 cars in one night. They do have, from what I understand, they have a description of a vehicle that they are looking for, but that's the only leads they have on it. So they did want us to say, if you have any idea of who's doing it or any tips, you can call and make those anonymously. And to please make sure you lock your vehicles up when you go inside. If you're not going to be directly around your vehicle, lock your vehicle up just to keep people, you know, that are out prowling from going in them. So, yeah, they have that little rash of burglaries going on.
Okay. An item that was in the Clinch Can News I wanted to mention is that Olivia Cochran has committed to play basketball for Louisville. Olivia lived in Clinch County until she was probably in fifth grade and then moved to Columbus. Her mother is Tara Williams, and she still has family here. Her father's Antonio Cochran, who played in the NFL and played for University of Georgia. Tara played here at Clinch County, won two state championships in 1993, I believe, then went on to play at Auburn and in the WNBA. And Olivia is 6'2" forward. And so congratulations to her and her family. She was ranked, I think, in the top 15 of women's basketball, high school women's basketball players in the nation.
Yep, she is good.
And she has really done well. And she has a younger brother who I coached Antonio Jr. Maybe we can get him to. I'm going to start to recruit him back here. I think we'd love to have him.
You know, people accuse Clinch County recruiting all the time. So y'all got to recruit all them state championships.
But we'd love to have Junior back. But congratulations to Olivia and her family about that. And Blake, tell us about the Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast, what y'all have going on that's on now and what you got coming up.
This week on Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure, the focus of our discussion, the main focus of it anyways, was on upcoming movies that we are excited about that will be released in 2019, 2020. We didn't go out beyond that. And you can go online and Google, and there are a slew of movies, brand new movies coming out. The thing that's got me excited, man, is there are a whole bunch of movies that they are either remaking or putting sequels out to, like the Top Gun. The Top Gun 2 coming out that looks so good in the previews. The Ghostbusters, my favorite, Bill and Ted, Coming to America's putting a sequel out, and so forth and so on. And so we discussed those on our top five list was the top five movies that we are most looking forward to as individuals to see. And it was interesting to see how similar our covers were. And the next week, this coming week, we will be discussing the top five worst movie sequels ever. You know, the one where we watch the movie, the sequel comes out, and you're all excited, and you're watching, you're just like, why did I waste that 2 hours of my life? Well, I'm pretty sure you got a couple of things to turn on that list.
But now, tell me this. A trailer yesterday.
Stuff in front of the news, behind the news, and in between
sponsors, and appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.